Nicole Brandon with Unlimited Life, and welcome to our show. I am so thrilled about today's show and so excited about today's guest. As we've been doing these shows for, you know, over a year now, it's been my highest goal to bring you the very top people to really be able to change your life, to be able to cross over boundaries and borders, whatever hurdles you have, whatever walls, and to help you get to the other side by bringing you the very best experts and tools and techniques. And so many times that on this show, we've gone researching and we found you the very best people that we can bring you. And then we've interviewed these people. We've had amazing experiences with these people. And then in the process, I've gone out and experienced the work and you've gone out and experienced the work. And then we've had the guests back on the show and we talk about what that experience was like. And also many times we've had people that I've had personal experiences with that I can tell you firsthand are making a difference and changing people's lives, including my own. And this is one of those very special days. If you were listening to our show on the IRS, you heard me talk about today's guest with such accolades and such recommendations. And today's guest is Jamie Brown. And she is going to talk about clearing your debt and helping you rebuild your credit, helping you raise your credit score. And many of you know who have been following me through the years that I had an incredible, wicked identity theft. And to the point where people bought homes, they bought furniture, they had surgery. I even had somebody, unfortunately, have a cat cremated using my credit. They had a driver's license made, had tickets even when I wasn't in the country. And I went through this incredible spiral of standing in front of judge after judge saying, this is who I am. This is who I am. This is not me. This was not me. I wasn't in the country. I didn't buy this thing. I didn't do that thing. And out of sheer desperation, I went to all of these people, you know, that I knew, and somebody had recommended a law firm to me, and I hired this law firm on good faith and spent a lot of money and over a year, probably a year and a half, trying to get my credit cleared, and to no avail, you know, they took advantage of me and they were not able to help me. And then somebody had directed me to today's guest, to Jamie, and I finally have found a solution. She is impeccable. She is integritous. She is trustworthy. She is wise, and she knows this business like nobody I have ever seen. And so I'm so excited, and I'm so thrilled because as our goal here is to bring you the finest and the best information and the truest, best experts that are out there, not only here in the state of California, but certainly, you know, throughout the nation and throughout the world, and we've done that with Jamie Brown. So let me tell you, it's such a great story how she started. Jamie is the Chief Executive Officer for Brown's Consulting Service, and you want to write that down, Brown's Consulting Service, because no matter where your credit is, she can help you improve your credit and improve your life, and what a great gift to give yourself at this time of the holiday season. And she actually started by accident, which I absolutely love, and we're going to talk to her about how that happened, because I know that very often I'll ask guests, when you were little, you know, you wanted to be, you know, a doctor, you wanted to be an astronaut, you wanted to be Miss America, and how did you end up where you are in this career? And Jamie's story is absolutely great. Jamie just always had excellent credit. When you hear her business sense and her business savvy, you will understand why. And then she discovered that some other person's $40,000 debt was actually on her credit report. And I know I can tell you personally what that looks like, what that feels like. It is daunting. It is frustrating. It is scary, especially when it's not yours and you have no idea how that happened. And so she's so smart. She's wicked, wicked, wicked smart. And she went to the library and she checked out one of these credit repair books. And just like the book instructed, she wrote to all of the credit bureaus. But what happened was it worked. That $40,000 was absolutely removed from her report. And so she was so excited and she was so intrigued by this. She just started studying it. She started studying all the Fair Credit Reporting Acts and the Fair Credit Debt Collection Practices. And then she decided, I wonder if, you know, I could help people with this. So she started helping her family. She started helping her friends. And when you meet her, she has such a high sense of care. You know that she wants to take care of you. You know that you are a priority. So you could see that she just has such a good heart. So she was doing this for all of her family and friends. And guess what? It worked. their credit was getting cleared, their scores were being raised, and then she realized there was such a high demand for this. And she actually had a knowledge, and she had a way of doing this that she knew that she could help the many and the more people. And I love that because it's really who she is, and that's what you get in working with her, is that she really, really, really wants to help you and that she has the ability and she knows how. So in 2001, Jamie decided to leave corporate America, which is where she was at that time, and decided to really pursue her dreams full time. And she is so passionate about helping people and helping them through their economic profiles. And so, and it's funny because before this, she was in financial services and management and sales, so she has a financial background, so she has that know-how. And in today's world, she is known as the Credit MD, which I absolutely love, that she is the Credit MD for her unique ability to determine, to repair, prevent credit dilemmas, and help clients across the nation. And if you are in another country, you know, we'll talk about that as well. So I'm so excited, I'm so thrilled, I'm so honored and blessed that she has taken time out of her busy season, because I know right now everybody is, you know, trying to clear their credit for the new year and start the year fresh, or trying to get credit cards to be able to buy gifts. And so she's just right now, the fact that she has just taken a moment to step out of that world of helping others to help you today is just fantastic. So, you know, with a great warm welcome, and please welcome today's guest, Jamie Brown. Jamie, thank you so much for being on our show.
You're absolutely welcome, Nicole. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you are the cherry on the sundae. You really are. It's like when I think about all of the problems that people can have in today's world, and certainly, you know, we look at the tsunamis and we look at all the natural disasters and we look at, and there are things that, you know, we take along the world that we say, these are pretty devastating things, and what can we do to fix them? And as a community, as a country, we band together and we fix them. But somehow when we have personal problems, when someone is sick in our own life, when we have our own health issues, when all of a sudden we, you know, can't get credit, or somebody has messed with our credit, or whatever it is, we don't know where to go. We don't have a USA to help us. We don't have a country, you know, or a city to help us pull this city back together again, or, you know, grand resources. And so we feel stuck and hopeless and helpless, and I know this, you know, you and I have talked about this from personal experience, and of all the things that can happen to someone, this is one of the things that happens to more people than probably almost any other thing other than health issues across our nation, is people having their debt crash, you know, or their credit crash, or not being able to get through this economy. And so the fact that you are the resource and the savior and the help in this, to me, is just what a grand gift.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. It's really awesome to be able to help people, because like you mentioned earlier, they think it's hopeless and that they don't have any resources. And that's why I love what I do, because I'm able to help them and guide them through this very tedious process and to get them back on track again.
Oh, that's just amazing. So let's go back just a little bit before we talk about how you're helping people now, how you got started. I love your story. It's probably, of all the bios I have read, it's the one that has made me smile the most and certainly just brings me joy. So this, you were in financial services and management and sales, and then what happened? I mean, first, that was your background, so you decided finance. You knew more than I how to balance a checkbook and how to pay attention to money.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you had that understanding, and then you were reading your credit report, or you just were looking at it and you saw there was a charge that wasn't yours?
Actually, I was at a music shop, and my son wanted to play violin, and we decided to go to the local music store in my town, and I, you know, apply to, you know, get this violin on credit. So the clerk ran my credit, and she said, well, we're sorry, we can't extend you credit. And I was so embarrassed, and I was like, well, what is going on? Because I knew I had excellent credit at the time. So she gave me a phone number and said, well, call this number and, you know, find out what's going on. So it was the number to one of the credit bureaus. I contacted them and said, hey, I was recently denied credit. I want to know what's going on. So they told me I needed to write a letter. But I was really stumped, and I'm thinking, what type of letter? How do I write a letter to dispute whatever is negative on my file? So they did send me a copy of my report, which is required any time that you're denied credit. So I looked at it, and that's when I discovered that it was a $40,000 child support debt, as a matter of fact. So anyway, long story short, I did go to the library, and I checked out one of those books, and I read the entire thing, which was more than 200 pages. And so it had a sample letter in there. So I used the majority of that, and I wrote to the credit bureaus, and it was just amazing that they took it off. I was like, wow. So it got me to thinking that, you know, probably other people are experiencing identity theft or errors on their credit, maybe some type of a mistake, or just having credit issues in general. So started to ask around and talk to some of my colleagues and family and friends, and found out, in fact, that yes, they also had some credit issues. So I just started studying the law, you know, the Fair Credit Reporting Act, which was enacted in October 26th of 1970, and it was actually effective April 24th, 1971, but I started reading all of that information, and secretly, even though I was in finance, I always wanted to be an attorney, so this gave me an opportunity to kind of play attorney in the sense that I would know all of these laws, be able to apply the law, and effectively get negative items removed from a credit report. So that's pretty much how I got started.
That's fantastic. I mean, it's truly amazing, first, that it can happen, that, you know, and I know this, that what that's like, that somebody can get in and use your credit and change your life in such a profound way, and then the fact that there is a solution. It's like, you know, when you're sick and there's medicine, there is something that can really be done to be able to make you well, and that solution is you, which I just think is, no, truly, it's, I mean, that's great. And so, you know, when you said that you went in to buy your son a violin, and I didn't even know that part of the story, which I just think is great, and then all of a sudden how shocked you were that this was on there. So should people check their credit? Or, I mean, or how often do you check your credit? Or
absolutely. You should actually check your credit probably at a bare minimum twice a year. You want to check it at least twice a year. And I also recommend that you check your credit prior to applying for credit so that there's no surprises. You want to know what your credit looks like before you give authorization for a credit grantor to take a look.
That's really, so do you go to like freecreditcard.com, or where do you, or how do you check your credit? Because I know most people don't even know that. You see the commercials on TV where the people are singing and you think,
yes.
Oh.
Well, there are several out there. Two that I recommend, there's one called annualcreditreport.com. You can get your free credit report from them once a year, once every 12 months, and that would at least allow you to take a look at what is going on. Also, there is another site that I use personally, which is myfico.com. There is a fee but I love that site because they use the standard scoring module, which is the same one that any national credit card company would use and also any mortgage lender would use.
Okay, well, thank you, because I know that people are diligently writing as we are sharing this information, and it's so important. And you don't know. You know, you watch, it's like a little kid watching commercials, and you want every toy, you know, or you want every Big Mac or whatever that is, and you see the people singing on TV, and you think, oh, I'll check my credit there.
Right.
We're just so enticed. And then when people have, especially, you know, Christmas, because I want to, you know, focus on the holiday and the new year a little bit. So people have a credit card and has a $5,000 balance or $10,000 or $25,000 or $3,000, you know, whatever it is that they have. And then they go and they max their credit cards out buying holiday gifts or shopping or even pulling cash out of that card to be able to get through the holiday season or travel or ski or do whatever they're doing. Is there a limit? Like, should you, if you have a credit card that has $5,000 or $10,000 or $25,000, does it hurt you to max it out? Or is it, I mean, should you keep a balance? Or how do you figure that out?
Yes, it will hurt your credit if you max out your credit card, because there are five key areas that influence your credit score, and how much you owe is 30% of the credit score. So it is very important to keep your credit card balances at 33% or lower than your credit limit. So for an example, if you have a $5,000 credit card limit, you really don't want to go more than $1,500. And keep in mind, a lot of times people will tell me, well, I've paid that card off and it shouldn't show maxed out. Anytime you make a payment on your credit card, it takes 30 to 45 days before that payment shows up on your credit file. So making a payment today will certainly not show up. So again, when I mentioned that you should always check your credit prior, then you can see after you make a payment immediately, it's not going to reflect that. So try to keep those balances super low. If you can keep it beyond lower than 33%, that would be great, but at least try not to exceed that 33% if you can.
That's really good advice. I mean, and I know that that's not what most people do, which is why so many people are in trouble. So I think it's important that people know that. And so it's just so wonderful. And I know that, I mean, it's the holiday season. And, you know, as I was saying just a second ago, that when it's the holiday season, you always see people applying for credit. You know, you get 10% off today's purchase if you apply for a credit card. And if you're buying lots of stuff, then sure, let's apply for a credit card. Or people just put everything on their credit cards and think, well, in the new year, I'll pay it off. And so is there holiday advice that you can give people?
Sure. I would say just stay away from the urge to apply for instant credit at the retailers. The interest rate across the board is much higher on a retail credit card than it is on a national credit card. So we're talking about your department stores and your home improvement stores. They typically, regardless of how great your credit is, you'll still get a much higher interest rate, because they know if you were going to default, that would be the card you would not pay offhand. People typically will pay the major credit card companies first, your Visa, your MasterCards, and so forth. And so they know they're low on the totem pole, therefore they always give you a much higher interest rate for that reason. And also, during the holidays, the sales representatives earn extra money and points. So that's why the friendly cashier is saying, would you like to apply today and save 10% or 15%? You know, something is in it for her personally and also, of course, for the company. So stay clear. Already have a budget of what you're going to spend before shopping, and don't apply for those instant credit card at the retailers.
And then is it safe? You know, they always ask for your Social Security, and the people are applying online, and people are, you know, asking you to write it on forms and applications and mail it in. And should people be putting their Social Security number on things? I know a lot of people carry their Social Security card with them just so they remember their number. And do you need your Social Security card like that?
Well, I would say never carry your Social Security card in your wallet or on you in your purse or what have you, because if your wallet or purse is stolen, then thieves can easily steal your identity. And then next thing you know, they're opening up all kinds of credit in your name. Anyone over 18 should already know their Social Security number by heart. So if you don't, you should memorize that so that you don't have to carry the actual card with you. And unfortunately, if you are going to apply for credit in person or online, they will request your credit, your Social Security number to extend the credit to you. And most all institutions, wherever you go, whether it's for utilities or cell phone or car loan, they're going to want to have that number because it identifies you. And since your Social Security number is kind of like your fingerprint, it only belongs to you. They do that also to protect themselves from someone who may be trying to get credit in your name and without your permission. So they will require that number, but always safeguard it as much as possible.
Okay, and then when, you know, I know that when you're going to buy a house or you're going to buy a car, or if people that are looking to rent apartments, a lot of people are moving. It's the new year, and or they're car shopping, whatever that is, because there's a great holiday specials. And so when people go and they apply for an apartment, and let's say they put in applications at five different apartments or at six different car or dealerships to try to get the best deal on the car, you know, somebody had told me that by every time they check your credit, that it can hurt your credit. Is that true?
Yes, that is true. Each time you apply for credit, which is considered an application for credit, also known as an inquiry, it does lower your credit. And inquiries equate for 10% of your credit score. So I tell people, I know we live in the culture where we always shop around and we want to find the best deal. You can still do that. Just be sure to ask the potential credit grantor or the landlord or what have you what their credit criteria is prior to applying. For instance, if you go to several car dealerships, in order to give you a specific on financing and interest rates, they will want to run your credit, but you don't have to allow them to do that. You can ask general questions and say, for instance, if my credit score is a 700, could you give me an approximate as to what my payment would be or what my interest rate would be? So stay clear of, you know, applying for multiple credit at one time, because it can lower your score about 5 points each time you submit an application for credit. So imagine going to 10 places and now you have 50 points deducted from your credit score can be very damaging. I mean, sometimes you're 2 or 3 points away from an approval, so something that significant would be very damaging to your credit.
How come people don't know that? I mean, it's so amazing. And then when, so let's say somebody's applied for a car and they went to 10 dealerships and now all of a sudden it's knocked their credit down and now they can't, you know, get it. And can they fix it?
You can fix it. The credit inquiries remain on your credit file for 2 years. So you almost have to wait it out. And I think you asked a moment ago, why don't people know this? Basically, because the Fair Isaac Company, also known as FICO, which is the major provider of credit scoring systems to lenders, they would not disclose how they came up with the scoring system up until recently. I would say maybe 10 years ago, they started to give us some information, but it was always something that was kept secret from the public, from the consumer, and only the financial institutions knew the information. But I guess to make it a little more fair and for people to know how to manage their credit and what they should be doing, they started to give some of that information so that we could better manage our credit and take care of our finances as a whole.
And so what is it, you know, you're talking about the FICO score, and so how do they, I mean, how do they break that up? If it, part of that is the inquiries or whatever, then what's the rest of it?
Well, inquiries, as we discussed, that's 10% of your score. There's actually five categories. So also the amount of debt, which we covered, is 30% of your score. Time you've had credit. So the longer you've had credit, the higher your credit scores will be. So you have people who've had credit cards for 20 years and 25 years or 15 years. It's more favorable than when you have cards that are just 6 months old or 2 years old. So keeping those cards open for long periods of time will also improve your credit. And that equates for 15% of your score. The most important that you always want to pay attention to is paying on time, you know, how well you pay. That is 35% of your score. So always pay on time, never miss any payments. Be sure to pay more than the minimum so that you don't carry these balances and spend so much money in interest. And the last category is the type of credit accounts that you have. They're looking also at your credit mix. They don't want to see just credit cards only. The credit grantors are looking for maybe student loans, auto loan, home loan, installment loan, and revolving credit. So your the type of credit accounts you have is 10% of your credit score.
Oh, that's so interesting. And then you should were we saying that you should always pay more than the minimum? Does that really make a difference?
Absolutely. You want to pay more than the minimum, for one, because you'll get out of debt much faster, which means you will save tons of money on interest fees. And also, it gives you a good internal record with that particular credit grantor. So when they look at your history view your payment record, they'll see that you always pay more than what they require. So you have a credit card company and they're asking for $50 a month. If you can afford it, send $100. or 200 or 75, but never just pay that $50 because they're watching that, and that will help them determine if they want to increase your credit line or extend credit to you in the future.
Wow, this is such great information. And then, you know, I was talking at the top of the show about that I came to you because of my identity theft. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about identity theft and also your services, the different, you know, reasons people come to you and the different ways that you can help them. And so can we start a little bit about the identity theft? Because I know right now that's just wiping people out.
Yes, identity theft, unfortunately, is the number one white-collar crime, which means that is the number one crime that is happening basically from your desktop computer, from just anyone being able to access that. They're not going out and, you know, maybe holding up a bank per se, but it's still theft, but they're doing it in a way that most of the time they cannot be caught. So identity theft is so difficult to get out of. Unfortunately, it's easy for the thief to steal your identity, but much more difficult for you, the consumer, to prove that, in fact, you were not the one who opened those particular accounts. I think most credit grantors, they want to make sure that you were not in on the theft, that you didn't give your Social Security number to your spouse or your neighbor or some relative and tell them to open these accounts and then turn around and, you know, claim to not have any knowledge. So that's one reason why it's very tedious and time-consuming for you to prove that you are not truly responsible for those particular acts. But you have to do things. They make you work. You got to get police reports and sign affidavits and things like that just to clear your name. But it can be done, and I help people do that all the time. And one thing I recommend you do is get some type of monitoring service on your credit. That way, anytime someone looks at your credit, if there is an application for credit, if there's anything negative happen, you'll be notified immediately, which gives you an opportunity to prevent it from going even further. So once you're notified, if it wasn't you, then you can stop it immediately and reduce the overall damage.
You know, I never thought about that they might think that somebody is in on it. You know, I know for myself that I was in Istanbul, Turkey, and that somebody had driver's license made, you know, with my picture on it or whatever, and they got tickets, and I had to go to court and say I wasn't even in the country. Here's my tickets. Here's my hotel, you know, where I was. And, you know, people that have bought furniture, that have gone shopping, that have had help things, and it's just amazing that once people get your information, what they can do with it. It's almost like Legos. You know, when someone gives you a box of Legos, all the things you can build.
Right.
Think about when somebody has your credit, you know, your Social Security number or your house or your information, all the different things that they can do with it. It's just crazy.
Right. Very crazy. And the thing, too, you mentioned getting tickets and in your name that, you know, you were not responsible for. Also, people commit crimes and they give the name of someone else. So then, you know, you could be pulled over and next thing you know, they say we have a warrant out for your arrest because the thief, you know, gave Jamie Brown's name and got booked and charged, you know, with that, and they think that it's you, but the identity thief is using your information for everything, jobs, crimes, credit, homes, automobiles, everything you need a name and social security number for, they're doing it.
Wow, that's just so amazing, and it's so daunting. And when I think about you fixing this and doing this for people, it's like Jamie with the superhero cape. It's like you come in like da-da-da-da, and you're able to fix all this for people, and I love that's what you do. You really are a superhero.
Oh, I appreciate that.
No, it's true. And then what about, I know that, I've had people that we've talked to on the bridal show and certainly that have written into us when they knew that you were going to be talking on the show today as well and asking about, one, when you get divorced and you ran up a lot of credit as a couple or the other person is still using that credit and now hurting your credit, how you can separate yourself out or free yourself, and the same as in businesses, when you have corporate credit and then somebody runs away or leaves the company or they do something bad and then you're left holding the bag. And can you talk about those situations and people that maybe have come to you with those kind of problems and how you can help them?
Yes. It's really sad. I get couples who come in who are, newly married and they're wanting to, say, purchase a home. And they didn't disclose that information to each other when they were dating, and it only comes out after they submit an application for credit, and then they discover that one or both of them have credit issues. So they come in my office, one has tears in their eyes, the other one is looking like, what else did you not tell me before we got married? So as newly married couples, or even when they're engaged, again, they should be checking their credit and sitting down together to go over their debt and find out what their scores are. But even if, the marriage should not last, and unfortunately most marriages do not, you want to be sure to take your name off of any joint accounts or any accounts where maybe you're just an authorized user. So you contact the credit grantors and ask to be removed from those accounts so that if the other party should run it up, then you're not responsible. So you want to let them know that they're, you are no longer together. That would help to safeguard your credit. And also, when people are angry and hurt and upset, they sometimes do things that they shouldn't. So I have tons of clients who come in and their ex-spouse open credit in their name, ran it up, never paid it, just to be spiteful and get back at them. So, again, having credit monitoring service would help you safeguard your credit, and that way you can be notified immediately should something be going awry.
That's so scary. People can be so mean. They really
yes.
can. It's just the fact that somebody would do that, and I know that people do that. And then it just seems, that's so helpless and so hopeless. And so how does somebody find you, and where does somebody begin if they, one, want to clean their credit? Let's talk about that first, not raising the credit score, but let's talk about they go to apply for a car, an apartment, a Target card or whatever, and they're declined credit. What's the first thing they should do? And then, can you go through the steps or stages?
Oh, absolutely. First thing they would want to do is to go on one of those websites and order their credit report so that they could take a look at it. The second thing they want to do is thoroughly go through each line and kind of make notes, and if something sticks out that you absolutely know is not yours, pay really close attention to that, because that could be signs that you are a victim of identity theft. And secondly, call me. You know, I would love to review that report with you in person or through a conference call. I'm able to help anyone in the United States and abroad, Canada and so forth. So having an expert read that report with you or for you is important, because there are things that the general public do not understand, because most of the credit reports have codes on them. So the average consumer has no idea what all of that stuff means, and it can be very intimidating, because a credit report can be anywhere from 3 or 4 pages, but depending on your credit history and your age and such, it could be 45 pages long. So having some...
You see them that big? Wow.
Yes, I spend tons of money on ink. When I, you know, if they come in and I, you know, have to pull their credit and that type of thing. But yes, they can be significant. They can be really long. But again, someone just starting out or with very limited credit, it's probably only going to be 4 or 5 pages. So, but there is hope, because like I mentioned earlier, the Fair Credit Reporting Act is here to help the consumer. And that's the reason why these laws came into play. There are tons of errors and misspelling of your name, wrong Social Security number, inaccurate information. Pretty much the last research showed that 80% of all people who have credit have some type of error. So that's pretty much, if you're in a room of 10 people, you know 8 of them, there's something wrong. So that's a huge number.
That's a high statistic. Wow.
Very high statistics, as that more than likely something on your credit is wrong. So those little things mean a lot, you know, even the wrong address, the incorrect spelling of your name, the wrong employer, someone else's account, all of those things, because it has a coding system, they all mean something. They're there for a reason, so you want it to be 100% accurate.
And then when you're talking about, you know, a 4-page report compared to a 45-page, which is just amazing to me, credit report, is there a too young? Like people that have student loans and are just starting out, should they still be seeking help or aware compared to somebody who is getting married or who has a family now or who is getting divorced? At what point should you be thinking about your credit score?
If you're an adult, if you're over 18, if you are looking to get credit or already have credit, you should be looking at it, because those 3 digits can change your whole financial profile. It changes everything. So, for instance, we haven't talked about scores, but I'll cover a little bit of that now. Someone who has a 500 credit score, which is poor, the range is actually 300 to 850. So 300 is really bad. 850 is superb. It's excellent. Actually, there's less than 1% of all adults who have an 850 score. But I also teach a workshop. I give a workshop that shows you how to obtain a 800 FICO score or better. So that's the elite category.
Wow.
So,
I want to do that. When do you have one coming up? When are you doing that?
I sure do. I have my next elite 800 FICO score workshop is January 24th, 2014. So next month would be my next workshop. And now this is, like I said, where everyone wants to be. It takes some time to get there, but it's not impossible. And this is truly your sign and drive. I know you see these commercials where they talk about getting a car, all you need is your signature. Well, that is true. If you reach a certain status, anything you want, if you're over an 800, you can get. Bottom line.
So if people want to take this class, which I'm sure I've got all these people jumping out of their seats right now that would like that kind of a credit score, how do they sign up? How do they find, well, first, how do they even find you to get you to fix their credit? But how do they take this class?
They can call me. My number is 888-227-7979. They can go to my website, which is www.bcseasy.com, or they can look me up on Facebook. It's facebook.com/creditmd. And we're going to talk a little bit more about how I got to be called the Credit MD. It's a little cute story behind that as well. But, yeah, if you want to take the workshop, be sure to call me or send me a message.
January 24th. I would love to take the workshop, and I'm sure so many of our listeners, oh, my gosh, to be able to have, you know, a golden credit score. Where what a great way to start the new year. To have the tools and the techniques to really be able to not only clear your credit, but to have good credit and credit enough that you can really have the kind of life that you dream of and desire and be able to sort of sustain it and keep it there. I think that's amazing that you do that. So thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And so let's go back to, okay, so credit score is 300 is not good. So how do we climb? Okay, so what's bad? What's passable, what's the filet mignon, is the 850, and so what's in between, and how do you know, and how do you climb?
Well, good credit would probably start at about 640. 640 would be considered good credit. Great credit, you're going to be looking at 720 and above, and then we've already spoke about the elite, gold standard, as you will, of being anything over 800. The one way that you can start to improve your credit scores is to pay your debt down. If you have student loans or home loans or credit cards, pay more than the minimum. So start to get that debt as low as possible, because keep in mind that is 30% of your score. You never want to pay late, which is the 35% of your score. But one thing I tell people all the time is if you have limited credit, you might want to start off by getting a secured credit card. This is where you would put up the amount of money in cash that you want your credit line to be. Most national credit card companies who still offer secured credit cards, your credit limit would be anywhere from $300 to $10,000. Again, you would put the cash up. They would keep it in a savings account, and that gives them the assurance, should you default, that your credit, they could take the money out of the savings account, thus help you from, you know, ruining your credit. And if you have a good relative with excellent credit who's willing to add you as an authorized user, that's a great way to boost your credit scores. Now, I have done that for people, but never give the person the card, because you don't really want them to use it. You're just helping them out. So if you have a parent, an aunt, a sibling that has excellent credit, if they add you as an authorized user, you get the advantage of having their excellent credit become a part of your profile. But people with great credit, if you're listening to me, just don't give them the card so they can't use it, but you can still be, you know, kind and generous enough to help someone along the way.
That's amazing advice, especially in so generous advice at the holiday season. And then what about if you have a friend that, you know, has bad credit and they want you to co-sign for their car or co-sign for their loan? Is it okay to do that?
Absolutely not. If the bank
really
doesn't
not?
Trust them, I would
so if
say
they're
no.
Your friend, they're your...
Oh, no. I would say that if the bank doesn't trust them to pay and they're requiring a co-signer, that should be a red flag that they could not get this on their own because they haven't already proved themselves. And so if you co-sign, you're left holding the bag. You will be equally responsible for the payments and that debt. So a lot of times the person doesn't live in your household, so you do not know that they are missing payments until it's too late and have already ruined your credit. That's why allowing someone to be an authorized user on your account, which you have total control of, is much different than you deciding to agree to accept the debt of a friend or relative. I would say not to do that.
I know a lot of people are going, oh, but
but
it's
Mom,
great advice.
Mom, please. Yeah, I get a lot of parents come in and say, you know, I try to help my child out, or you know, your great aunt said, okay, that's my favorite nephew, so I thought he would pay. And, I mean, I just see relationships are ruined, and I just say stay clear of it. It's other ways that you can help them, like I said, with having total control and you not being legally responsible for this 10, 15, 30,000 debt. It's not a really good idea because most of the times they default because they have poor credits, which means they have poor habits. And until they change their mind and start to look at their finances and credit in a totally different way, they'll always exhibit the same poor behavior. So the likelihood that they'll pay on time throughout the entire length of the loan is not very likely. There are some exceptions to the rule, but most of the time it does not come out favorable if you co-sign for someone.
Okay, I know people are listening, they're breathing, they're sighing. And then
they wanted that as a Christmas gift.
They did want that as a Christmas gift. And, it's, you know, when you think about college kids, like somebody would go, hey, dude, you know, could you sign for me? You know, you have good credit. You know, like you're saying, I want a new guitar or, you know, whatever, some fancy wheels. And, you know, and then people just sign for their friends. And so... I know people are listening to your stellar advice and to your very wise advice. And then I also know that on your brochure, I was looking at it, and it was talking about how other companies can take up to 18 months. And for me, you know, I know that I had someone working for me a year and a half, and they, did, you know, weren't working for me at all, or they do one, like, little thing. And that what you do is just so powerful, and so can you differentiate yourself from other companies and how you guys do what you do? And because I just think it's, you know, it's fabulous, and I want to make sure that people come directly to you and they do understand that there's a difference between you and people out there that are just trying to take advantage of them and hurt them, because we really want to make sure that in the new year people get to the other side of this.
Absolutely. Most of the time, these other companies, like you mentioned, there are a lot of law firms out there who provide debt management and credit restoration, and the consumer tend to trust them more because they have attorney or law firm attached to their name. So they'll sign up for one of those programs, and they can range from anywhere from $39.99 a month all the way up to probably about $129.99 per month. But the thing is, they take a very long time purposely to drag it out so that they make more money. So you'll end up being on a program for 1 year, a year and a half, maybe even I've heard as much as 2 years. So just calculate that for a moment. Even at the very lowest, the $39.99 per month, if you are on that program for 24 months, you know, that is, you know, $1,000. But it took 2 years. The majority of the time, the results are none. You get no results or very minimal results. The law states that credit repair actually should not take more than 6 months. So if you sign up with the reputable company, they will advise you that you'll be done within that 6 month time frame. And I think the reason that the attorneys and the law firms are getting away with stretching it out is because they will try to sell you other products or claim that it's for something other than credit repair. They'll just title it something different so that they can continue to have you pay on a monthly basis. But under the Fair Credit Reporting Act, any time, which is what I use, you've heard me mention that many times on this program, there are, you know, hundreds of laws under this particular law, and there's some that I personally enjoy or find very beneficial, like Title VI and so forth. It states that the credit bureaus, which the credit national credit bureaus are Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. Anytime you contact the credit bureaus, by law, they have 30 days to reply. So within 30 days, you will get a response based on the item that you dispute, whatever issue you may have, which is exactly what I did when I found out that I had that $40,000 debt on my profile. So they respond back really quickly. So once you get the response back from the bureau, they also, as a courtesy, include a complimentary copy of your credit report. That way you can take a look at what your credit looks like after the changes and the updates. So there's absolutely no reason why credit repair should take 2 years. If they're doing what they're supposed to do and they contact the bureaus immediately, you do get an answer back. So my program, on average, the average client, I'm usually done in about 70 days.
That's remarkable. I mean, how exciting is that?
So I know. Less than 2.5 months, you're all squeaky clean again and credit worthy.
Honestly, Jamie, I don't know anybody who wouldn't want to start their new year with clean credit and being able to raise their credit score or be able to get a line of credit or settle the debt or, you know, whatever that is, or have application aids or, you know, the services that you offer. I just think that if people are out shopping for everybody else, the gift that they should give themselves is really being able to find you. I just, it's a remarkable service and one that everybody needs. I don't know anybody who couldn't use, except for those 1% of those golden people to raise their score. So if you are one of the 1% golden people and listening to the show, please call us.
Right. But it would be very interesting for them to call in or to write in and say, hey, I'm in the elite, you know, golden club, but it's far and in between. But, yeah, it's an excellent gift to yourself. I had a client come in a couple of days ago, and she was saying, well, I don't know if I want to do this right now, and, you know, I know there's a fee associated with your services and so forth. And she said, well, we have the holidays and so on and so forth. She was giving me one excuse after the other, which she totally needs to do this. And so once I said, well, this would be a great gift to yourself. For one, you know, take care of yourself. You know, we always take care of everyone else, our spouses, our children, our parents, and so forth. But this is a great gift for yourself. You feel so much better. You hold your head up. You have great self-esteem when you know that your word means everything, that the credit grantors trust you when you say that you will repay the debt. And everyone's looking at your credit. When you go apply for a job, when you apply for an apartment, if you want to buy a house, purchase a car, refinance a house, get a student loan, credit card, everyone's looking at your credit. So it needs to be excellent. You want to put your best foot forward. Speaking of potential employers, I have people all the time come in, they didn't get that job because the employer ran their credit. So when I mention financial stability, having good credit overall improves your life in all areas of your life.
Yay. I mean, this is the best information and the best gift I can give my audience at this time of year. I'm so grateful that you're on the show. And I really am. So thank you so much.
You're so welcome. And again, thanks for having me.
I'd love to share this information.
Oh, I really
incredible.
Do.
And then I have a couple more questions. I have on your website, I saw something about how, trade lines that you could add to credit reports or something. What are trade lines?
Trade lines are the credit accounts, just another term for credit accounts. And adding trade lines, it goes back to those authorized user accounts. So if you have someone that can, you know, add you as an authorized user, that would be considered a trade line or an account. So in order to have, you know, even great credit, you need at least five trade lines. One or two is not going to cut it because they want to see if you can maintain more than, you know, one credit card or one small thing. But when you get to the elite area, even though everyone is trying to give you credit, you don't want to have more than nine. If you have more than nine, that lowers your score. So there are so many tricks to this whole thing, and again, the average consumer doesn't know this, and so blindly they go out and apply for credit or misuse credit, or they just don't know. They, you know, our country, unfortunately, is credit-driven. We didn't even have credit cards, really, national credit cards, when we were young, you know, anyone in my age group, 40-plus. That wasn't the norm, and that just became a big money maker. And so, the Visas and Diners Club, which was one of the first, started coming out. And so now everyone thinks that they have to have all of these credit cards and do all of these things. And unfortunately, people are being laid off, and whether they get divorced or they're sick or anything like that, you know, life happens. And so they find themselves overextended, unable to maintain it, and then they're back down with experiencing denial letters and not being able to get credit for the things that you really truly need, which I tell most people, the one thing that most people want is a home. And because of the real estate crash and all of the things that happened, the mortgage lenders have tightened up their belts. They're not lending as freely as they were like in 2006 and 2007, just before the, you know, the bubble burst. So they're looking at everything. And if you don't have a strong repayment history, if your numbers are not solid, you're not going to get that home. A lot of my clients already own homes, but they can't get it refinanced to take advantage of these much lower interest rates. So we do have to start taking better care of our credit, understanding it, and being able to manage it wisely.
Fantastic. And then I also wanted to hit another category, which is the entrepreneur. And I know in today's world, so many people are starting their own businesses. They don't want to work for a boss anymore, and they don't want to be under the thumb of some company or corporation, and they have their own ideas of what a business would look like, or they have their own products or services now. We have so many green products. We have so many new technologies. And so what happens when someone goes to get a line of credit? Do you help the entrepreneur as well?
I do. It depends what type of legal structure they have their business under. If they're an LLC, limited liability corporation, or a C corp or S corp, or maybe just a sole proprietor, we would look at all of that. But they can certainly establish credit separately from themselves in most instances, where they don't have to be the guarantor on the debt. And if you do own a business or you're starting out, you are going to want to establish credit for your business and not have everything tied to the owner's social security number. And so I do help people establish business credit. It's relatively easy once they are established, but as a general rule, most lenders are wanting you to at least have been in business 2 years and, of course, show some ability to repay. You're not going to get business lines of credit or credit cards if you report. You said you had to show about the IRS on your taxes that you're not making any money, because they're going to require, in most cases, a copy of your tax return. So if you're claiming you didn't make any money, they're not going to lend you any money. And a lot of people run into that situation. They say, oh, I make $200,000 a year, and they report $30,000 with all losses. So it's something to that, but we'll save that for your your next guess about the IRS. But not impossible. Again, it's just knowing what to say and getting your ducks in a row. And so that's why I do have that program with the credit application assistance, because most people will get denied simply because they didn't fill out the application correctly. So everything on there means something, so you want to be sure that you're putting your best foot forward.
Yay. And then what about collection calls, the daunting bell of the collection call at 8 o'clock in the morning when people are still asleep and all of a sudden it's a creditor? And can you ever make that go away?
Yes, you can. you would have to write to your creditor and ask them to cease and desist contacting you by telephone. They do have a right to contact you, but if you're receiving harassing phone calls and maybe they're calling your employer and your family members, or like you said, first thing in the morning, you have to write them a letter and ask them to stop contacting you by telephone. So advise them that all contact must be done through correspondence, which means that they can only write you. But you can't say that verbally on the phone. You can't say, hey, stop calling me. I don't want you to call me anymore. You're annoying me. But if you write to them, they have to stop. Be sure to keep a copy of the letter that you send them. But under the law, if you ask them not to call you, then they must stop contacting you in that way.
I didn't know that. I'm sure people are so excited to hear that. Yes, especially when the phone rings, there are people I know that are afraid to pick up the phone because they think it's just going to be a creditor or a collector, and their whole life is based on not picking up their phone in fear.
Yeah, that's a sad place to be in, but a lot of people are faced with that, and you have some companies who are breaking the law. They're threatening you, threatening to come to your job or do bodily harm, or they use profanity. All of that is against the law. And again, they can be prosecuted for that type of harassment just because you owe someone some money and maybe you've defaulted. That doesn't give them a right to harass you under the Fair Credit Fair Collection Act. So there's a way to put a stop to it, and they play on the fact that most people are good, you know, good inside, they're responsible. So they call you and, you know, say things like, well, you should pay, and, you know, what type of person are you, and take care of this and all of that. And then, like you said, then they don't want to answer their phone anymore, so they avoid answering the phone because it becomes overwhelming. These companies call, you know, a dozen times a day or more. So, but certainly exercise your right, send them that letter, and those calls should stop.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, for people, that's like the greatest Christmas gift you possibly could give them. It's funny because I was just looking at your course for the 800 credit score. What a great gift to give your spouse.
Yeah.
I mean, that is the greatest stocking stuffer, to be able to say what I'm gifting you this year is I want to teach you how to have that golden credit score that you can have anything you want. Instead of
right.
me giving you something, I'm going to make it possible for you to have anything you want, the house,
right.
the car, the whatever. It's a fabulous gift. So that's great. Sorry, still recovering from my bronchitis.
Oh, no.
I love getting my flu back. So talk to me about debt settlements. Can you settle a debt for someone?
Sure. The consumer can do it themselves as well. The thing is, a lot of times the credit grantor, the original company that you took out the debt with, after they've attempted to collect from you for a few months, they'll sell those off to a collection company. The collection company, you know, purchased that debt from the original creditor, so they now own the debt. They don't want to keep it, and they are willing to settle in most all cases with you. And what you want to do is contact them and let them know that you want to settle. Let them know what you're able to pay and how you want to pay it. If they agree, be sure to get it in writing. A lot of times, if you only have a verbal agreement, after you send the money in, they'll continue to show that you owe the entire debt. So never pay.
Really?
Yeah. And they'll say, oh, we never promised that, or we didn't agree to those terms. So any terms that you come up with, get it in writing. Do not send your payment until you've gotten that letter in writing. So, for instance, if you owed $5,000 and you talked them down to $2,000, get in writing that they will accept $2,000 as full payment and settlement for that debt. Write out the terms, whether you're going to send a lump sum or you want two or three payments, whatever you guys agree to. Once it's in writing, then make your payments. After you've completely satisfied the arrangement, then you can notify the credit bureaus that it is paid and settled, and then they would update your credit report.
Do you have to show them that you made payment arrangements or the letter that says that it's settled, or do you need their help to get it off the credit report, or can you do that for someone?
I can do that for them. Having that letter, everything documented in writing, would be your proof, and that's why another reason why you want to get it. Also, the company, the collection company, can send the credit bureaus that information. A lot of times they take a lot longer than if you just mailed a copy in yourself. So they are supposed to report it as well, but I find it's much faster if you do it yourself.
And then does it say on the credit report settled, or does it just disappear from the credit report?
It would show settled. It would not disappear unless you got the collection company to delete it, which would also have to be in writing. You could make that part of the negotiation in the beginning. If I pay this, will you delete it from my credit? And if they say yes, get a letter saying we'll accept this and we'll delete it from the credit. They don't want to a lot of times, which I understand them not wanting to do that. But a settled account is much better than a unpaid collection account. So even though it says settled, it's better that it's settled versus left unpaid.
It's incredible. There's so much information, Jamie, you know, and your knowledge is so vast. And I know that we were talking at the top of the show, and we only have just a couple minutes left. So, but were you always enamored with finance? I mean, that was your background before you went into credit repair. Did you always have this relationship with numbers, and you just understood it? Because it's so easy. It's like walking and breathing for you. And I know you're so talented, truly, at what you do.
Yeah, I always had that fascination. You know, even as a child, you know, out of my two siblings, I was the only one who would save my allowance. I know it's funny, but I would want a particular blouse or a pair of shoes, and next thing you know, I'm going to the mall and buying this, and my parents would always say, well, where did you get that from? And I would say, well, you know, I've been saving my allowance. So, yeah, very early on, I started to have a fascination for numbers and finances and such. So in school, I studied business management, but I got into financial services when I was in corporate America, and I took a job with one of the top cellular companies at the time. And working in that industry, because my department looked at credit all the time. My department was also linked to the collection department. So you have to know all of the collection laws, and I looked at credit reports all the time. I was in leadership positions, so people who would call in if they needed a supervisor, if they had to talk to me about making a credit decision or should we extend this client maybe they want two additional phone lines or they're wanting to change their terms. So being around it, learning the laws, looking at credit all the time, having the situation happen. So I start to think, I'm really supposed to be doing this. So I love what I do. Once you learn it, it's not very intimidating, but people shy away from it because our parents didn't talk about finances or money or credit. And I think it should actually be part of the school system as early as elementary to teach people about money, credit. Finances in general is very important because you kind of leave home for college and, you know, dad especially would never say how much he made a year or how they paid the mortgage or so forth. So we're doing our kids a disservice when we don't discuss that. So I think if they made it part of the curriculum for schools, we would grow up, be more prepared as adults when we get out into the real world.
It would be fantastic if that was part of our curriculum. And I love that this is part of your past and your present and your future. And I'm just so excited that our paths have crossed. And I'm so grateful for you for fixing, you know, my credit and my, you know, identity theft. And I just know that everybody that's listening to the show, every single person listening to the show can use this service. So whether your credit's a mess and you're looking to repair it, whether you have a low score and you're looking to raise it, whether you have okay credit and you're looking to have that golden credit where you have the unlimited life, just as we're hoping everybody on the show is leading, then you can really help every single person here. So, Jamie, once again, give us your phone number and your information, your website, and again about this incredible class on January 24th to get that golden score, which I think is the best Christmas present you could give your spouse. You know, go ahead, sign up for the class, put it in a Christmas stocking, wrap it in a box with
right.
your show, and give somebody an unlimited life and give them your course. So how does someone find you one more time?
Sure. My number again is 888-227-7979. Again, 888-7-7979. Or on the web, it's www.bcseasy.com. Or send me a message on Facebook. That's Credit MD. Also, if a person is looking, as you mentioned, I think this is absolutely a great gift to give someone or to gift to themselves, as we're talking about good tidings and good credit. I also offer gift certificates. So if you don't want to gift the entire workshop, which the next one is January 24th, 2014, which is just around the corner, you can buy gift certificates from me in any denomination, and the person that you give that to can use it toward any of the services that I offer, whether it's the identity theft protection, the credit restoration, the Elite FICO Score Workshop, any of that, it could be used toward any service. So certainly a different, but I think very important gift to give someone as we approach this very festive holiday season. So I appreciate everyone
gift.
For listening today.
It's the greatest gift. And then just before we finish up, Credit MD, tell me how you get the title.
Credit MD. Okay. Well, my colleagues say I perform miracles and that what I do is so extraordinary. And so they started saying, you know, you're like a doctor. You heal us and you repair things and you can diagnose our credit situation. And then you also have the medicine, you know, the solution to it. So affectionately, they started saying, hey, Credit MD, hey, Credit MD. So the name kind of stuck with me, and because I do feel like it's it is a special art. It you have to love what you do, and because I love people and I love helping them, you'll be surprised that you do start to heal on the inside when you know that your financial situation is great. And so I feel like also sometimes I'm their therapist, because they come in and with tears in their eyes, thinking it's hopeless, and they've never heard any of the information that I'm providing. And so, again, just some of my colleagues started calling me that, and so I said, okay, I like that. I'll accept that. I can be the the Credit MD. I can be your credit doctor.
You are the Credit MD, and you are the solution, and I think you are the greatest singular Christmas gift that can be given to anybody that you love, especially to yourself. So, Jamie, thank you so much.
You are so welcome.
For being with us today for this incredible information and for helping everybody that is listening to the show really lead an unlimited life and have a happy, happy, happy holiday season.
Thank you, Nicole. I appreciate so much being here with you today, and just hoping that everyone will start to look at their credit differently and get a different perspective and understand that it is so important, and just, you know, start to take care of the things that mean the most to them.
Well, thank you again. And
you're welcome.
Jamie Brown, the Credit MD from Brown's Consulting Service. Thank you. What a remarkable guest. I can truly not think of a better Christmas present. And as I was stating at the top of the show, this is someone I know personally can help you, can change your life, can make a difference. She is the very best of the best of the best of the best. She is the credit doctor. She does know how to heal you. She does have the solutions, and she does know how to make things better. So what a wonderful show today. So thank you so much. We have exciting shows coming up, everything from relationships to banking to reverse mortgages and some incredible surprises for the holiday. So thank you for being with us today. Thank you, Jamie Brown, for just your very special, special show. And tomorrow we have celebrity Terry Davis that is going to be joining us on the Hourglass Bride Show, and she is just so funny and so remarkable. And I know this is going to be an incredible show. So we look forward to you joining us there and here next week for so much more. So wishing you an unlimited life. May all your barriers, your walls, your hurdles come down. Make everything into a gate. Get to the other side. And the best way to do that today is by calling Jamie Brown at Brown's Consulting Service. And even if you're looking to have the elite 800-850 gold score, lead the kind of life you always knew you were meant to lead. Have everything you've ever wanted, and let nothing stop you. Thank you again, and look forward to talking with you next week.